Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on daf Lamed Zayin and Beis. We are at Amar Rabbi Yochanan, about 7 lines before the end of the page. So first we're going to go through the Na'anuim of the Lulav, what they're meant to represent, what we try to accomplish by shaking the Lulav and by the Tenufa of the Shtei Alechem, the waving of the Shtei Alechem. And then the Mishnah is going to discuss on Lamed Ches Amar Aleph, if someone is traveling or for whatever reason didn't take Lulav earlier, so what he has to do, how much out of his way he has to go in order to take Lulav. Later on, the Gemara is going to have a stira, whether you have to stop a meal, a stira between this Mishnah and Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, whether you have to stop a meal in the middle in order to take lulav, and then the Gemara is going to have a stira mineu bei within this Mishnah itself, whether you have to stop a meal to take lulav, and to each of those stiras, the Gemara is going to have two answers. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about relying on other people to read halal for you, including one's wife and one's children, to read halal for you, and how that's not an ideal situation. The Gemara is going to tell us, Rav is going to point out six halachos that we learn from the minhagim of how to say halal. He's going to enumerate six halachos, and then at the end of the daf, we get into the major sugya of Shomea Ka'one. As it relates to halal, we're going to discuss Shomea Ka'one. So let's begin. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Molech u'mevi l'misha arba rucha shalom, malo marid l'misha shamayim v'aret shalom. That excuse me, when we shake the lulav, when we're moluchu mevi, when we move in four different directions, the lulav in the four different directions, it's l'misha arba rucha shalo. We're showing that we're dedicated to the one who's in control of all four directions of the world, and malu morid l'misha shemayim v'aretz shalo, to the one, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who controls shemayim v'aretz. But Ma'arava Masnu Hachi, in Eretz Yisrael they would say like this, that Amar Rabbi Chaim Baruch V'Amar Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Chanina, Moluchu Mevi K'dei Latzo Ruchos Ra'os, that when we're Moluchu Mevi, it's a way to stop the Ruchos Ra'os, the bad winds that could be damaging to crops. So it's a way of offering a tefillah that those things shouldn't happen. And then Malu Morid K'dei Latzo Talalim Ra'im, and we pick the lulav up and put it down in order to raise it up and lower it down in order to stop the bad dews, anything that could negatively affect the crops. So this is our way of offering a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these things shouldn't happen. This is part of the idea that the Na'anuim are part of a chelik of the tefillah. That's why we do it in the middle of Hallel. That's why we point out from the Ritva that it's a mitzvah shel ritzui. That's why it could be a mitzvah ba'avera. Stuff could be, even if you hold this only for mitzvahs of ritzui, the lulav is a mitzvah of ritzui because it's a tefillah. The Na'anuim are part of a tefillah. Am Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Vitem Rabbi Yossi bar Zvila. Zosa meres shiyari mitzvah ma'akvin esopranos. This is what we say, that even the shirayim of a mitzvah, even something that's not the etzem mitzvah itself, like the na'anuim, that's not the mitzvah of lulav. The mitzvah of lulav is mida agbe nafakbe. The second you pick up the lulav, you're already yotzi the mitzvah. This is the shirayim of the mitzvah. It's the extras. It's the extra bells and whistles that we attach to the mitzvah. And even that is ma'akiv esopranos. Even that can stop terrible things from happening on earth. Sharei tenufa shiyari mitzvah. The tenufa, the waving of the shtei alechem of the karbonos of shavuos, is a shiyari mitzvah. Voltzeres ruchos v'talalim ra'im, and nevertheless, it stops the ruchos and the talalim ra'im, even though it's not the etzem ha-mitzvah. V'amar Rav v'chein b'lulav, and Rav says, and the same is true by lulav. Just like the tenufa by the karbon milcha is only shiyari mitzvah, so too the nanum of lulav are also just a shiyari mitzvah. The Yerushalmi says that you have to be minanei shlosha. Pa'amim al kol davar u'davar. And then the Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Zeira bai hachin chad v'hachin chad, odil mahachin v'hachin chad, and the Gemara doesn't, and the Yerushalmi isn't poshet the suffix. He has a suffix about what does it mean that you do three times al kol davar v'davar. How exactly does one shake it? Does he just point it in that direction and pull it back, or do you actually shake it while you have it pointed? So the Rishonim try to figure out what the Yerushalmi is actually talking about, and it turns out that there are several shitas in how to actually do the Na'anuim of the Lulav. The Shitas HaRambam is that Moluchu Mevi Malu Morid, and by each of them Yitrof V'Yichaschis Ba'Ali Lulav Gimel Pa'amim. You should shake in each of the directions three times. You should shake all the leaves of the lulav in each direction three times. And he says that that's what the Yerushalmi means. Al kol davar davar means by each tenua that you're maluch or maybe you're malu morid, by each of them you menanei the lulav three tenuos ketanos, three smaller shakes. And the suffix of the Yerushalmi is whether halacha and hava'a is one of the moves, is one of the three, and it counts toward one of the three. Very detailed discussions in the Rishonim exactly how to do the Nanuim of the Lulav. It's Kedai one day before Sukkot to read through what it says in Shulchan Aruch about how to do the Nanuim in a way that's motzi, that's yotze, rov of the deos or all of the deos. So the Gemara is going to say later on that a katan yadeil nanea is chayav belulav, that the age where a katan is chayav belulav is when he knows how to do the Nanuim. So it's Kedai for everyone to know how to do the Nanuim. So anyway, so Rav said that this is the message of the Nanuim, that it stops these peronials, just like the tenufa of the Shtei Alechem stops the peronials. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mamtilo Maisile, Amar Dingir Be'ene Desitna. Rav Acha bar Yaakov would shake the lulav, and when he would point it forward and back, and he would say that this should be an arrow in the eyes of the Satan. V'lav Milsi, Mishum Dasi Legriyabe. So the Gemara says it's not such a good idea to do that, to taunt the Satan in that way, because you don't want to awake a sleeping giant. You don't want the Satan to feel like he's being taunted, and then he's going to be Moser Atzmo al Hadavar, Rashi says. He's going to be Moser Nefesh a little bit more to show who's boss, and it's not a good idea. Marsha writes that the idea, what is Din Geir Beinu Desitna, that this is an arrow in the eyes of the Satan. In what way is it an arrow in the eyes of the Satan? So Marsha says it relates to what we were just talking about, that it's lots of ruchos rosh v'talalim ra'im, that it stops all of these bad things from happening on earth. So the lulav is mevatel the koach of the ra that the satan can bring about. So in that way, it's gira be'enei desitna. Chassam Sofer says no, based on the medrash, that the lulav on Sukkot is a remez that we were minatzeach the melchama against the satan in Yom Kippurim. So it has nothing to do with the talalim rayim and the ruchas ra'os and all of that. Din gira be'enei desitna means that this is our victory march. This after we defeated the satan on Yom Kippurim. Nothing to do with the Talalim Ra'im. Ben Yoyada says that's what Nanuim are called Gira for the following reason. He says Lulav is Begematria, says the Ben Yoyada, is Begematria 68, Kiminyan Chayim. And when you're Moluch Mevi Gimel Pamim, it's 3 times 68, which is 204, which is Gimel Reish Aleph, Gira. So if you just put in the Kuda of a Chiruk there, instead of, without adding the Yoda, and you just have Gimel Reish Aleph, so that's why it's a Lashon of an arrow, that we shake it 3 times in each direction. So it's 3 times lulav, that's gira. That's why that was the remez that he dafka referred to it as a gira, as an arrow in the eyes of the satan. Okay, says the Mishnah. Misha ba bederech v'lo haya biyada lulav litol. A person came home from a trip, and while he was away, he didn't have a lulav. So the halach is, l'kshei kanis l'beiso, yitol al shulchano. When he comes home, he should be notel al shulchano. What does it mean, al shulchano? So Rashi says that im shachach v'lo natal, if he came home and he realized he didn't take lulav right away, he forgot kodem achidu, before he started eating he didn't take lulav, tzarech lahafsik sudaso v'lita lulav, you have to stop eating and take the lulav right then and there in middle of the meal. Lo natal shachris, the Mishnah goes on to say, if he didn't take the lulav in the morning, yitol ben arbaim, you can still take lulav in the afternoon, shekol hayom kasher lulav, the whole day is really kosher for lulav, so you could still do it later on. It's not only a morning time mitzvah. So it says Gemara Amrit Notal Shulchano. On the one hand, it says in our Mishnah Notal Shulchano Lememra Demafsik. So that means that you stop in middle of your meal to take lulav uriminhi imischilu ein mafsikin. But we have a stira because the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos says with regard to Tfilas Mincha that a person should not sit to get a haircut. He shouldn't sit to eat or to sit in judgment when it comes time for Mincha. But if he began before Mincha and the Suda extends and it's already Zman Mincha, we don't stop in order to daven mincha. So why is it by lulav that it's different? By lulav, you're in the middle of your meal and you realize you haven't taken lulav, you have to stop your meal and take lulav, but you're in the middle of a meal and you haven't daven mincha, you don't have to stop and daven mincha. What's the chiluk between them? That's the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masecha Shabbos. So says Gemara two answers. Amar of Safra Lokasha, Hadi Kashos B'yom, Hadalek Kashos B'yom. when over there by in the Masech Shabbos by Mincha, we're talking about where you could finish your meal and there's still going to be time to daven Mincha later. Over here, we're talking where there's Leka Shochos B'Yom, where there isn't enough time, that the Suda is going to be Nimshach until dark. The Suda is going to extend until dark, so you're not going to have time to take the Lulav if you don't stop right away. So you need to stop right away in order that you should be able to do the mitzvah of Lulav at all. So that's one answer. Another answer is, Amar Rava Maikushya, Dilma Hadar Raisa, no, maybe it's a simpler answer to the stira. You can't compare tefillah to lulav. Maybe they're both talking about a case where there's plenty of time, but we stop for lulav because lulav is a mitzvah d'oraisa, but tefillah is only d'rabanan, so we don't stop for tefillah. We would stop for lulav. So a couple of points over here. The Gemara is making a pretty strong statement. Lulav is d'oraisa, yes. L'kachta l'chami yom rishon says b'feirish in the Torah. Tefillah is d'rabanan. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos counts tefillah in the minyan HaMitzvos. He holds that tefillah is a mitzvah min HaTorah. So the Ramban asks on the Rambam, it says that tefillah is a mitzvah min d'rabanan because it's b'feirish in our Gemara. Hadaraisa hadrabanan. So isn't that a blatant contradiction to the Rambam? The Ramban has many, many other rayas. Whenever the Ramban, Rabbi Balzan once pointed out, whenever the Ramban has a critique on the Rambam, he never says there's a Gemara against you. He says there's all of Shas against you. There's all of Midrashim. He never just has one kasha. When he attacks the Rambam, he shakes out all of Chazal, every Midrash, every Gemara. So this is one of the Gemaras that he quotes that seems to indicate that Tefillah is only Midrabanan. So the Mefarshim explain that it's not a kasha because the Rambam himself writes in Hilchus Tefillah Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph that min haTorah you only need to daven once and the rest of the Tefillahs are Takanas Chachamim. So the din of the Mishnah is talking about Tefillahs Mincha. So yeah, Tefillahs Mincha is only going to be Midrabanan because Mistama, the guy already daven Shachris, so Mele Mincha is only Midrabanan. That's the Machlokas, Rambam Ramban, whether the Ramban holds that Tefillah B'chol Yom is not Daraisa, only Tefillah Be'es Tzara is Daraisa, whereas the Rambam holds Tefillah B'chol Yom is Daraisa. So Salvechik explained that really be Yisod HaDavar, they agree that Tefillah is Daraisa only based Tzara. It's just that the Rambam has a higher expectation of us. The Rambam has the expectation that we appreciate that Kol Yom V'Yom is Nes Tzara. That we appreciate that even though right now we have air to breathe and right now we're able to function and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with Parnasa, with whatever it is that we need, it is Nes Tzara because it could be taken away at a moment's notice. It's not something that we're entitled to. It's not something that's automatic. So we have to live with that recognition every day. And therefore it's Tefillah b'chol yom v'yom is an eis tzara b'chol yom v'yom. The Ramban would agree in principle, yeah, it is always an eis tzara. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives and takes, and we don't know what we're going to have a minute later, but it's too much to demand for a person to live with that hakara on a day to day basis, that every day is mamish an eis tzara. So the Ramban only requires tefillah be'eis tzara in what we would normally consider to be an eis tzara. Tosos over here raises a different question. So we want to be mechalik between a mitzvah dal raisa and a mitzvah d'rabanan. We say that by lulav, you're in the middle of your meal, you have to stop to do the mitzvah dal raisa of lulav. But for tefillah, you don't have to stop in the middle to do the mitzvah d'rabanan of tefillah. Frek Tosos on the top, tema, v'arei kiddush hayom dal raisa. Making kiddush on Shabbos is a mitzvah dal raisa. It's explicit in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Chav and Shmuel. The Gemara tells us that women are chayavos mida oraisa in Kiddush. The men are chayav mida oraisa, and not only men, women are also chayav mida oraisa in Kiddush. So clearly there's a mitzvah mida oraisa to say Kiddush, and therefore it would follow, based on the rule of this Gemara, that if you're in the middle of a meal and you realize that you didn't say Kiddush, you have to stop what you're doing and go and say Kiddush. Vad mashma b'reish nazir, first tells us, just deals with the side point. The Gemara in Nazir implies that maybe it's not d'oraisa, shumi d'rabanan. The Gemara implies that it's d'rabanan. So Tosfos points out ayayin humi d'rabanan. The darish lesser that when the Gemara Nazir implies that it's d'rabanan, it just means kiddush al ayayin is mid'rabanan. But actually saying kiddush, saying words of being mekadesh Shabbos is not mid'rabanan. It's d'oraisa. Using a cup of wine, that's mid'rabanan. Or Tosfos one day in Tosfos Pesachim says that Pesachim Kovav is that maybe even using wine might be d'oraisa. But drinking the wine may only be derabanan. mitzvah ki ena rishus, because the Gemara in Nazir talks about the status of yayin for a Nazir, and it's darshan's a pasuk to tell me that a Nazir is not even allowed to drink yayin mitzvah, not even wine of a mitzvah. V'karmin mayhi kiddush v'avdalta mushba v'omidhu. And the Gemara says, what is yayin mitzvah? It can't be kiddush and avdalah, because he's mushba v'omid. Kiddush and avdalah is something that we already have from our Sinai. So mishani kiddush atzmo d'oraisa. So the Gemara says that the kiddush itself is d'oraisa. So the Gemara says that the Gemara refers to kiddush d'oraisa, means kiddush al yayin is d'oraisa, or drinking the yayin is d'oraisa. But kiddush al yayin is d'rabban, or drinking the yayin is d'rabban. But the kiddush itself is d'oraisa. So bottom line is, if kiddush is d'oraisa, we should say that you have to stop your meal to do kiddush. Yet vafilu achyam Rabbi Yosi b'reish av ripsachim de'ein mafsikin upaskinon hasam alach Rabbi Yosi b'reish av ripsachim de'ber pesach. The halacha is like Rabbi Yosi that we do not have to stop the meal in order to say kiddush. Why not? If it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, we should have to stop to say kiddush, just like we stop for lulav, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So tells the answer: Yeshlomer the shiny kiddush hayom sheyachol lekadosh b'yom kebalayla v'leka lemecha shlip shiusa kulei hay. Granted, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and therefore it's important enough to stop the meal for. But unlike lulav, where the zman is going to pass pretty soon, even if there's ikashus b'yom, that you still might be able to take lulav after the meal. But for how much longer after the meal? You're going to have another hour or two. You're not going to have that much more time. Kiddush you could do at any point over the course of Shabbos. So it's a full 24-hour mitzvah where you could do it at any point throughout the course of Shabbos. So we're not so concerned that a person is going to be posheya and forget to do Kiddush. That's why we say you don't have to stop your meal for Kiddush. Or Tosfos says another possibility why we're not so concerned about Kiddush: that when it comes to lulav, the more you're engaged in your meal, the less you're focused on lulav, and therefore there's a likelihood that you're going to forget lulav. But when you're engaged in su'udas Shabbos, you're having a different kind of meal than you would have throughout the rest of the week, and the whole meal is all about Shabbos, so there's less of a likelihood that one is going to forget to say Kiddush in the middle of his su'udas Shabbos, because the whole point is that the whole su'udah is dedicated to Shabbos, so that's why there's less of a concern. Okay, so those are the two answers in the Gemara about why it is that we stop our meal for lulav, but we don't stop our meal for mincha. Either the chiluk b'tina d'oraisa, either the ikashos b'yom, alakashos b'yom, or the chiluk b'tina d'oraisa and the d'rabanan. So elam Rava, rather back in the Gemara, Rava says, nah, the chiluk b'tina d'oraisa and d'rabanan is too obvious. Ikasha hakasha. So that couldn't have been the real kasha. I mean, it couldn't be that anyone was ever bothered by the stira between lulav in our Mishnah and mincha in Masechah Shabbos. They're so obviously different. Mincha is clearly derabanan. Lulav is clearly d'oraisa. That would not have been the kasha. No, if someone has a kasha, this is what the kasha should be. L'kasheikanis l'beso, notal shulchano. Alma demafsik. It says in our Mishnah, on the one hand, that when you get home, you should stop your meal right away and take lulav, so you see that you do stop right in the middle. V'hadatani lo natal shachris yitol ben arbayim. And then it says that if you didn't take lulav in the morning, so yitol ben arbayim, you could take lulav later on in the day. Alma lo mafsik. That makes it sound like you don't stop your meal, because it says, all right, you didn't take it shachris, don't worry, you'll take it later, you'll take it ben arbayim. So it makes it sound like you don't have to stop in the middle of your meal to take it, you could be notel ben arbayim, it's fine, you'll take it in the afternoon. So that's the stira. So the Gemara has two answers to the stira as well. Amar of Safra lo kasha, hadi kashos b'yom, hadala kashos b'yom. Same answer we said before, that it depends if you have time during the day after the meal is going to be over. If you see that the meal might extend throughout the rest of the day, you got to stop in the middle of your meal. That's the first half of the Mishnah. If you see that your meal is not going to take the rest of the day, the meal is going to stop fairly early, so there's no need to stop the meal. You could take Bein Arbayim after the meal is over. Amr Rabbi Zera, my kushya. Rabbi Zera says, nah, this is not a kasha to begin with. Dilma mitzvah la'afsuke v'ilo pasigitol ben arbaim shekol yom kashul lulav. It doesn't say in the second half of the Mishnah that ideally you should take it ben arbaim. It says imlo natal, if you didn't take the lulav when you were supposed to take it, and now it's already, you're holding by ben arbaim, you're already holding late in the afternoon, so now you take the lulav. But that's not a lichat chila. This is a b'di'evit situation. Lichat chila, tefillah, whenever you remember, stop right away. Whatever you're doing, even in the middle of a meal, you stop right away and take lulav. B'di'avad, meal is over already. You didn't take lulav. Don't worry, it doesn't mean you lost the mitzvah. You can still do it. You can still take it. Bein arabayim. Ella am Rabbi Zeirus. Rabbi Zeirus said, it's obvious that our Mishnah is not a stira minei yuvei. It's obvious that our Mishnah has that, that there's that simple approach to take to answer the stira in our Mishnah. Liolam kedamrina meikara. You have to say that the kasha that was asked about a stira, whether you stop a meal or not, must have been the kasha between our Mishnah, the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Shabbos. It was not a stira minei yuvei in our Mishnah. You have to say that it was just that the Mishnah in it was a contradiction between whether you stop a meal for lulav and whether you stop a meal for mincha. Aye, but you said the answer is too obvious. Mincha is obviously only drabanan. Lulav is obviously daraisa, and therefore the answer is too obvious. Why was anyone bothered by this kasha in the first place? No, hachab yom tov sheni drabanan askinan. Who says that our Mishnah is talking about lulav daraisa? Maybe our Mishnah is talking about lulav midrabanan, meaning lulav ulkachtem lachem bayom arishon. Lulav is only daraisa outside of the Mikdash for the first day of Yantif. After the first day of Yantif, lulav is midrabanan. So if that's the case, that lulav is midrabanan after, so maybe that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Then that's the stira, that our Mishnah says you stop a meal in order to do the mitzvah drabanan of lulav. And the Mishnah in Shabbos says that you don't stop a meal in order to do the mitzvah drabanan of davening mincha. So dekanami, and it's meduyuk in our Mishnah to assume that we're talking about not Yom Tov Rishon, but Yom Tov Sheni midrabanan midrabanan, because it says in the Mishnah, Mi Shaba Baderech Ve'in Biyado Lulav. A guy is coming traveling from a road trip and he doesn't have a lulav. Who's traveling on a road trip? On Yom Tov Rishon. Yom Tov Rishon is Yantif. You're not allowed to be traveling on Yantif. So it's obvious that we're talking about Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore the stira was a good stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Mesecha Shabbos, and we have to go with the original answer. Hadika Shos Bayom, Hadalaka Shos Bayom. That has to be the answer. It's not just that Hadarabanan Hadarais. Our Mishnah is also dealing with Hadarabanan. If you look at Tosas, Yom Tov Sheni Darabanan, Tosas says, Vakati Avamatzal Shnuye, Didi Ika Shahus. The Gemara could have answered that both Mishnahs are talking about where there's plenty of time during the day. I mean, you don't have to say Hadika Shos, Hadalaka Shos. Maybe the Gemara could have answered better. Once we have this theory between our Mishnah and the Mishnah and Shabbos, and they're both about mitzvahs to Rabbanan. But maybe there's still another answer you could give. El mishum dekula yom azimnehu cheshin and tfei dema asi lemivsha. Maybe we are more concerned about lulav because you have all day to take lulav. Now it's an interesting svara, because previously we were saying the more time you have, like by kiddush, you have all day Shabbos to say kiddush, so we're not so worried you're going to forget to say kiddush. Now we're flipping it around. We're saying no, when you have all day, you push things off and you'll say I'll do it later. So when it comes to lulav, maybe you have to stop your meal, take lulav, because you cannot procrastinate when we know that you could that you're likely to procrastinate for a long time, and then you're likely to forget it. But when it comes to mincha is a short window, so we don't have to stop right in the middle of the meal, because you know that there's a time pressure on mincha, so you're likely going to get mincha anyway. Because I mean, parakam the Shabbos mincha, kivin the kaviyah lezimna, mirtas lasi lemivsha, arvis kivin the kaviyah lezimna, lo mirtas lasi lemivsha. You have such a svar in the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara says that when it comes to Mariv, we're not as concerned that you're going to forget. I mean, we are much more concerned that you're going to forget by Mariv, because Mariv, you have all night. So since you have all night, there's more of a concern that you might forget, since you're going to procrastinate. But Mincha, you know, is really time pressured. You're not likely to forget. Ve'ein lomar mishum dehasam leilis manshina v'chayshinu tfei dimkein ha'u time avalei lemar hasam. And don't say, no, the reason we are concerned you can forget Mariv is not because you have all night. The reason we're concerned you're going to forget Mariv is because most of those hours are sleeping hours, and that's why we're concerned you're going to forget Mariv. No, because the Gemara would have said that. The reason we're concerned you're going to forget Mariv is, as Tosfos is saying, because you have all night. So why don't we answer that over here? Why don't we say the difference between lulav and mincha is very simply that mincha is a small window of time, so there's no concern that you're going to be negligent about it, you're going to realize the time pressure. Whereas lulav is all day long, and therefore there's a greater concern you're going to be negligent about it. So it tells you, Yeshlomer de tefila tzricha shahus umis atzal batfei min etzilas lulav de mechiyag bei nafak bei. Now, but there's a point that has to be considered, and that is that as much as one might delay and might procrastinate with something that he has all day to do, but people generally like to procrastinate things that are harder and require more focus. So it's much more likely that someone's going to procrastinate mincha, which takes time and focus and concentration, rather than lulav, which is a half a second. You pick up the lulav, mida'ag ve'nafak ve, the second you pick it up, you're ready yotze the mitzvah. So that's why that answer isn't going to work, that people are going to procrastinate lulav because you have all day. No, why would you procrastinate lulav? It takes 1 second. So we have to say that the chiluk is ikos shehus biyom or lekos shehus biyom, like our Gemara says. Now, the Gemara had proven that we must be talking about in our Mishnah about Yom Tov Sheni, because we spoke about someone who's baba derech, someone who's coming from a road trip. So Frek tells us, Tema, in the Gemara Maseches Brachos, it says, Hishkim latzis lederech, mevi lo shofar vitokea. If someone is Hishkim latzis lederech, and he doesn't have a shofar, you bring him a shofar and let him blow the shofar. Well, that's obviously not on Chol HaMoed, right? If it's shofar, it's obviously on Yantiv. And then it says, in that context, and lulav u'menaneah, and bring him a lulav and let him be menaneah. So you see that baba derech doesn't necessarily mean that it's Chol HaMoed. Baba derech could be Yantiv also. So Tosa says, that yeah, in that context, obviously it means on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah could speak in that way because it's obvious that it's on Yom Tov. But if it could be, if you're talking about a holiday that could be Yom Tov or could be Chol HaMoed, so it wouldn't use an example of Baba Derech if it wanted to talk about Yom Tov. It wouldn't mislead you. It would be too much of a misdirection to tell you about Baba Derech when it could be referring to Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov, that would be and really wanted to refer to Yom Tov. When it's obvious that it's Yom Tov, like by shofar, so then it could say Baba Derech and it's not misleading at all. Furthermore, he says there's a difference between Hishkim Latseis LaDerech and Mi Shebaba Derech. Over there it talks about someone with a shofar, Hishkim Latseis LaDerech. It means he's traveling within his own city, within his own tchum. But Mi Shebaba Derech sounds like he's coming from a great distance, from a Makom Rachok. So that's not shaykh to happen on Yom Tov itself. Okay, Mishnah. Misha ya eved o isha o katan makrinoso. If a person has an eved or a woman or a katan reading halal for him, since we were talking about halal in the last Mishnah, because that's when we do the na'anuim, so now we're going to get into some of the dinim of halal. If a person wasn't able to say halal on his own, so he has someone else of a lesser stature, an eved, an isha, a katan, reading for him, so he has to respond whatever they say. He has to repeat what they say, and he should be cursed for having to rely on an isha, eved, and katan to read for him, that he doesn't, as Rashi says, shalol lama, that he didn't bother to learn how to say halal. And even worse, perhaps, if he does know how to say halal and still he refuses to say halal and he makes these his shluchim, he makes people of lesser stature his shluchim to be yotzei the mitzvah for him, so his tavlo meira is deserving of a curse. Im hayu gadol makra oso, ona achrav haluka. If a gadol is reading for him, so then he doesn't have to repeat every word. He just has to say haluka at the end of each phrase, but he doesn't have to actually repeat every word. Makom Shanagu lichpol, yichpol. Lifshot, yifshot. In places where the minig is to repeat psukim in halal, so repeat the psukim. In places where the minig is not to repeat the psukim, don't repeat the psukim. Levarech, yivarech. In places where the minig is to say a bracha, so you say a bracha. Hakol kaminig hamedina. Everything follows the minig hamedina. A person should always follow the minhag of what they do in terms of how to say halal. Now Tosfos over here points out, Misha Yavid Oisha, he says, Mashmakan di Isha Ptura Mehalal. Sounds from here that a woman is part from halal on Sukkis, and also halal on Shavuos, because Mitzvah Shazman Gramahi. So it makes sense that a woman's going to be potter. Aye, what about halal on the night of the Seder? So he says, halal on the night of the Seder, the Gemara doesn't address it directly in the 10th parak of Psachim, but the Gemara says in the 10th parak of Psachim that a woman is chayiv in dalid kosos. So a woman would only be chayiv in dalid kosos if she's also chayiv in Hallel. Why is that the case? He says, Mistama lo tiknu dal kosos el kadei lomar aleim Hallel va'agada. Mistama, they were only misakin dal kosos in order to say Hallel va'agada, in order to be props to the mitzvahs of Hallel and Haggadah. Sounds like Tosfos is assuming that there's no mitzvah of Dalet Kosos per se. You happen to have four mitzvahs that are each associated with a kos. So when we say women are chayiv in Dalet Kosos, it means that they're chayiv in Kiddush, they're chayiv in Haggadah, they're chayiv in Hallel, and they're chayiv in Birch Samazon. So you have Birch Samazon, then Hallel. So you have, yeah, it ends up being four kosos because they're chayiv in all four mitzvahs halayla that they have to do. That's why they end up being chayiv in Dalet Kosos. That's what it makes it sound like. The Rashbam at the beginning of the 10th parak of Pesachim sounds different. He says, no, four is a critical number because it's the Dal Lashonos of Geula. That's why we have four kosos. So it sounds like there is something about four kosos aside from just that there happened to be four mitzvahs halayla that they were misakein al hakos. But Tos sounds like, no, they're only chayiv in Dalet Kosos if they're actually chayiv in all four parts. Otherwise, there's no reason to make them chayiv in Dalet Kosos. If they're not chayiv in Halal, so it'll be three kosos. If they're not chayiv in Birch Samazal and Mashal, it'll be two kosos. But it's four kosos because they're chayiv in all four parts of the Seder. That's what Tos understands. So why is it, if they're not chayiv in Halal and Sukkot, they're not chayiv in Halal and Shavuos, why are they chayiv in Halal in the night of the Seder? It's mitzvah shazman grama. So Tos says, Chiddush number two of Tosfos is, shiny Halal the Pesach, dal anes ba, va'afin hayu, ba'usu anes. That Halal on the night of the Seder is because it was Halal al anes, and afin hayu ba'usu anes, so women are chayiv in anything that celebrates anes, because of afin hayu, but also anes. So that's somewhat of a chiddush also, because afin hayu ba'usu anes, we associate with three mitzvahs in Shas, throughout Shas, with Megillah, with Ner Chanukah, with Dalet Kosos. That's what we say, Afin Hoi Bosanes. It's not so clear that Afin Hoi Bosanes applies to anything else, really. Some poskim apply it to other things, but the Chassam Sofer is a tshuva. Why don't we say by Tefillin? Tefillin is Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why don't we say by anything, Afin Hoi Bosanes? We have so many mitzvahs that are Zechel to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So women should be chayv in all those Afin Hoi Bosanes. So the impression you get is that Afin Hoi Bosanes is only, Rav Salvech pointed out, is only when it comes to mitzvahs of Pirsume Nisa, not just mitzvahs that celebrate an ace. Lots of mitzvahs celebrate an ace, but mitzvahs where there's a dafka in the Indian of Pirsume Nisa. So Halal is a question whether that's Pirsume Nisa or is that celebration of an ace. If it's just celebration of an ace, then maybe Afin Hoi Bosan Ace would not apply. But Tosus clearly says that obviously it does apply because it's primarily for the ace. Chassam Sofer explains that the difference between this and Tefillin, let's say, is that Tefillin has other meaning to it. Tefillin is, like the Gemara Maseches Brachos says, that Tefillin d'Akadosh Baruch Hu Maksivei, what does it say in the Tefillin of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Our tefillin say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin say Mikamcha Yisrael Goyachad Ba'aretz. That tefillin is like it's a show of affection between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what Yisod, the tefillin, is really all about. Elamai, it also has a theme of a Zechel Anes. It also has a theme of a Zechel Anes as a secondary theme. But anything that the primary theme is the Nes, then we would say Afin Hoi Bosa Anes. It's only when the Nes is only a secondary theme, we're not going to say Afin Hoi Bosa Anes. That's how Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva. Okay. Says the Gemara now. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Braisa. Be'emes Amru, Ben Mevarich La'aviv. So this has nothing to do with Halal. Now we just, because we spoke about Tava Meira for someone who decides not to learn how to say Halal, so we discussed, what about benching? What about Ketanim being Motzi Yu and benching? So Be'emes Amru, and Rashi points out, Be'emes Amru means that it's Halacha Ve'in Cholik B'davar, that no one disagrees with this. This is absolutely undisputed. So Ben Mevarich La'aviv, Ve'evan Mevarich L'rabo. A son is Mevarich for his father, and Evan could be Mevarich for his master, Ve'isha Mevarechas L'baila, and a woman could be mevarich for her husband, Birch Samazon. Rashi points out that we're talking about a son who's higiel lechinuch, where he's chayv midrabanan, at least in benching, and we're talking about a case where the father didn't eat kadei sviya, he only ate a kazayis or a kabetza, which is only a shear to be mechayv him midrabanan in benching. So the son who's chayv midrabanan could be motzi the father who's also only chayv midrabanan, assuming the son ate a kadei sviya. Tosfos points out in Maseches Brachos that if the son himself only ate a kazayis or a kabetza and didn't need a kedei svia. So he's a trei drabanan. He's a drabanan because he's a child. Plus, it's a drabanan because he only ate a shir drabanan. Maybe he cannot be motzi an adult who ate a shir drabanan because the adult is only a chad drabanan. The adult is a baruch yuva midoraisa, but. He's a baruch yuva midaraisa, but he only ate a shir midrabanan. That's a question whether there's such a thing as a trade rabbanan, whether we view someone who's chayv midrabanan for two reasons as a lower level chiyuv than a chad rabbanan. That might explain why some of the rishonim do not like the idea of allowing a woman to be motzi a man in mikra megillah, because it could be that a woman is only chayv mikra megillah mitam afeinoy belsanes. Some of the bali atos say that afeinoy belsanes atos misachs. That Afinoy Belsanes would only be a mechayev midrabanan, wouldn't be mechayev a woman midaraisa. So it could be that if the mitzvah is a mitzvah drabanan to begin with, and she's only chayev in all mitzvahs, that a woman can't be, that a katan wouldn't be able to be motzi by mikra megillah because of the trade rabbanan. A woman maybe can't be motzi a man because if afinoy belsanes is only a mechayev midrabanan, mikra megillah for a man is not midrabanan. It's midivrei kabbalah. It's higher than a drabanan. So maybe a woman is only chayev midrabanan, cannot be motzi a man who's chayev midivrei kabbalah. So avol amar cham tov mir ladam shishu banam mevarich lo. But the cham say that a person should be cursed if his wife and children have to be mevarich for him. Amar Rava hilchasa giv. Rava says there are lots of halachos we can learn out, six to be exact, from the minhagim of how we say halal. As Tosus points out, in Rava's location, they used to be bekiyim in halal. Everyone knew how to say halal, and still they held on to certain minhagim of responding and answering instead of having just everyone say everything normally. So it must be that they were trying to teach halachos with the minhagim of the special ways to say halal. So number one, hu amar haluka vein amar haluka. So the Shliach Tzibur says haluka, everyone responds haluka, so you see that it's a mitzvah to say, to answer haluluka. Hu amar halu avdei Hashem, number two, hu amar halu avdei Hashem, ein amar haluka, mikanshim hayu gadol makro, so on achrav haluka. From here you see that when the gadol is reading the halal for you, you respond haluluka. Number three, hu amar hodu Hashem, ein amar hodu Hashem, mikanshim mitzvah lanos, rashi prakim, so we see from here that there's a mitzvah to answer with the beginning of the paragraph. Itmar Nami Amar of Chanan Barava Mitzvah Lanos Rashi Prakim, and Rav Chanan Barava says the same thing. Number four, Hu Amar Anashe Moshiyana Veheinam Ranashe Moshiyana Mikan Shemayikatan Makro. So Onanachr Mashu Omer. When we repeat Anashe Moshiyana, that's a zecher to the concept that if a katan is reading halal for you, you have to repeat all the words. Now we don't have a katan reading halal for us, and we're still repeating the words of Anashe Moshiyana. It's just to remind us that there is such a halacha, so we have certain spots in halal where we do these things to remind us of these halachas. Number five, Hu Amer Ana Hashem Atzlichana, Vein Omer Ana Hashem Atzlichana, Mikan Shem Balich Bal Kofel. From here we see that if you want to double up a pasuk, you're allowed to double up a pasuk. That if that's the minag, then that's what you're allowed to do. The Gemara Maseches Megillah points out, Kol Pesukei Lo Paski Moshe, Anan Lo Paskinon Lei, and you're not allowed to stop in the middle of a pasuk unless you're reading for Tinoka Shel Beis Rabbim. So the Rishonim asked the Kasha, how we're allowed to break up this pasuk, Ana Hashem Moshiyana, and then we repeat Ana Hashem Moshiyana, and then Ana Hashem Atzlichana. So they say, based on the Gemara Maseches Daf Kuf Yutes, that Ana Hashem Oshiyana was said by Achiv Shel David, Ana Hashem Atzlichana was said by David. So since originally it was stated by two different people, so Mimela it became, you're allowed to say it separately, even though it's a single pasuk. Number six, Hu Amar Baruch Haba Vehein Amar B'Shem Hashem Mikal L'Shomea Ka'one. He says Baruch Haba, they say B'Shem Hashem. From here we see Shomea Ka'one. Vayim Minim Reb Chia Barabba Shama V'lo Ana Mahu. What if you were Shama but you didn't answer, you didn't say Amen, you didn't say anything. Samalu Chachimai v'sifray of Reisha Amu v'darshaya Amru Shama v'lo Anayatza. All the great leaders, all the different areas of expertise, all the rabbis with different areas of expertise, all say that if you're Shama v'lo Ana, you're still Yotzei. Itmar Nami Amru Shem Ben Pazi Amru B'Shur Ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara Minayin L'Shomei Kona. Where do we know this din of Shomei Kona? D'chsev as the Dvar Mashar Kari Yoshiyahu. What? V'chi Yoshiyahu Karin v'lo Shafan Karin. It wasn't Yoshiyahu who said them. D'chsev Yikru Shafan is called Dvar Meila Lifnei Melech. Yoshio wasn't saying it. El Mikan L'Shomei Kona. Yoshio was listening, and when you listen, that's like saying it. The Dilma Basa Tekrinu Shafan Kari Yoshio. How do you know that Yoshio didn't say it? Maybe Shafan read it to him, and then he repeated it. So you can't prove Shomea Kona from there. Maybe he taka repeated the whole thing. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Lo Salkadai Tichsiv Yan Rach Levavcha Vatichlum Fei Hashem B'Shamacha Estevar Meila B'Shamacha V'Lo B'Karecha. That it emphasized that Yoshio heard Estevar Meila, but not that he said Estevar Meila. So we see from here that it must be that it's Shomea Keona. Okay, no time right now to talk about it, but obviously there's a lot to say on Shomea Keona.